an outline out of your bulletin. We're on a timeless series titled Timeless. Timeless, timeless things. In a trendy world, the best things are timeless. Trends and fads come and go. They have a shelf life. But timeless things go into eternity with you. And today, we're key idea for today in our timeless series is when you tithe to God, you can't help but trust him. Okay, smile. Everybody smile. Yeah. Okay, say it with me. When you tithe to God, you can't help but trust him. Do you know why that is? Because tithing requires trust. That's right. When you tithe to God, you can't help but trust him. It's an act of trust to give to God. You see in your scriptures there, in your outline, the scriptures we're using today. To start off with today, I want you to share with people around you something another person or others have done for you that expressed their love for you, and you knew that that love was real and sincere. It was real and sincere. Okay, oh, that's up here. What has someone done for you that expressed their love for you, and you knew that they really meant it? Okay, go ahead and share things that people have done for you that you knew came from a deep heart. It came from a full yes in their heart for you. And oftentimes, love costs us, doesn't it? Real love will cost you to give it. Time, resources, effort, whatever it be, interrupting your own schedule. Sharing love often costs us. When you give to your Lord, on the front end of it, if you're new at this, it feels like it's a cost. And indeed, it is. In our world, there have been many trendy things, and fads that have come and gone. And that's the problem with trendy things. They never last. They never last. In our sermon one of this series, we shared a number of trends over the last seven decades and played a little game with could you identify which trend belonged to which decade, and it was kind of a fun thing. A lot of trends out there. How many things have you and I bought thinking it would be a timeless treasure, and today it's rotting or rusting in some corner of the garage, or it's in a trash heap somewhere? As being created, beings created for eternity. Did you know that? You were created for eternity. We need things that are in lives that will last forever. And that's why we've titled this series, Timeless in a Trendy World, the Best Things Are Timeless. Because they are. Things that are timeless are things like love and trust and humility and courage and generosity, integrity, determination, and so on. Sometimes some timeless things seem easier to do than others. Generally speaking, for most people, loving others is easier than, say, being courageous in the face of fear. But what about pursuing timeless things on purpose? Not if they just happen to trip into your life, but pursuing things that are timeless on purpose. Prayer. We just talked about giving of yourself to someone else. Love that cost you. Jesus said the ultimate gift of love is to give your life for your brother, your sister. Doing those things on purpose. It takes thought and planning and effort. How would you make a difference in the depth and character of your personal life and in the life of your church? And what impact would it have on your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, your doctors? if each one of us chose to pursue timeless things every day. Last week I introduced one timeless element in the Christian's life, tithing. And we talked about it from Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. And a tithe is not just one-tenth of your income, it's the first tenth of your income. Why the first? Because it makes us say to God, you're first in my life. Now, we have a lot of firsts in our lives, don't we? First girlfriend, first boyfriend, first car, first checking account, first this, first that. And there's a lot of firsts we can choose from. God says, I want to be first. Not because he's selfish or insecure, but because as our Creator and our God, he can say to us as his creation, I'm first. Put me first always. So a tithe is your first tenth of your income. In the Malachi passage, God told Israel that they were stealing from him by not giving him a tithe. And they said, what? Stealing from him? They didn't even know they had a problem because they had let God stop being first and they drifted away from obeying him. And so in Malachi, the prophet Malachi is going back to the Israelites and saying, hey, you guys, listen. You've been back from exile in Babylon for 85 years. You should have this down now. We've been teaching you. What? How are we stealing from you? It's almost like somebody saying, I disagree with you, God. You prove it. How are we stealing from you? You know, people say that when they don't believe a truth being told to them. Prove it. God says, okay, I'll prove it. You don't give me your tithe. You don't give me your tithes and your offerings. How are we stealing from you? As Creator, he says, I own everything you have. To show me you love me and trust me, give me a tenth. You keep 90. Give me a tenth. When messages of finances come up, sometimes people think, the church just wants my money. Happily, I don't hear that here. At ACC, we don't apologize for teaching what the Bible teaches about being good stewards of God's resources, specifically finances. Isn't it interesting that no one ever says, I'm tired of hearing from Visa and MasterCard and Citibank, they just want my money. We don't say that about them. Your Father God wants to experience you to experience financial freedom. Anybody here have moved towards financial freedom? Moving out of debt? Yeah, isn't that awesome? He wants you to have financial freedom so that you can spend, save, and give his ways. And allows you to make a timeless and eternal impact on people's lives, beginning with your children. They watch you. When you experience financial freedom, it not only helps your life today, it frees you up to impact future generations in your family and beyond. Financial freedom is not a fad, not something that's just going to come and go. It's a timeless impact and a timeless factor. The bottom line today is this. The church doesn't want something from you. The church wants something for you. Proverbs 22:7. I'll get it right here in a minute. Chapter 22. Anybody recognize the address, Proverbs 22:6? Teach a child a way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But we never get on to verse 7. 22:6, let's pick it up on 6. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a servant or a slave to the lender. When we go into debt, we cannot be free to say yes to God because we have to say yes to our lender. Yeah, it limits us. God wants us to be in financial freedom. Your tithe to God is a timeless expression of love and trust. So today, let's discover 4 reasons for when you tithe to God, you can't help but trust him. Number 1, Tithing is a remedy for greed. Jesus said that if we try to save our lives our way instead of letting God save our lives his way, that we would do what? What would happen to our lives? We would lose them. Now, I don't know if that means physically lose your life. It probably could include that. But especially it means relationally, spiritually, emotionally. Have you ever spent a sleepless night worrying about funds, finances? That's a form of losing your life. We would find ourselves spiritually and morally bankrupt. On the other hand, when we give God what he commands us to give, it keeps our hearts facing upward to our source. Greed is like a triple sin. How's that? Well, number one, and these are some blanks for you to fill in. I want what I don't have. Greed says, I want what I don't have. And greed says, I don't want what I do have. It's not good enough. It's not amount enough. It's not, off we go. Paul says in Philippians 4, I found the secret of contentment. And do you know what the secret is? Paul doesn't state it specifically, but he says this, God, whatever you've given me and how much you've given me is enough. Now, advertising in this country says, no, 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 no. What you have isn't enough. It isn't good enough. Get the next phone that comes out 3 months from now. You just bought this one, but 3 months from now we got a new one coming. And you can't live without it. You know, my phone, it's dirty. I've dropped it twice. The glass has got cracks all over it. I'm keeping it. I'm going to keep it. It works. And thirdly, tithing is a remedy for greed because when I'm greedy, I'll say I'll do whatever it takes. When we finally get to the place where greed has really grabbed hold of us, it says I'll do whatever it takes to get what I want. It doesn't matter. I'm starting to pull out emotional stops. I'm pulling out moral stops. And I'm going for what I want. Greed will take you there. Tithing reminds us that God knows where we are and what we need. Amen? Greed is always calling us to get the upper hand, no matter who you have to run over to get it. Tithing is an effective deterrent against greed. It takes decision and dedication to block greed. And this is the first reason why when you tithe to God, it means you trust him. Secondly, giving a tithe acknowledges God as your creator and Lord. As creator and Lord, he is the owner of everything you have, right? Including your heart beating in your chest. Therefore, he has the right to call us to give to him any portion he chooses. Any portion he chooses. And what a loving God he is to require only 10%, only 10%, and allows us to keep 90%. God is the owner. We are his managers of all that he has given us, to manage it for his glory and his purpose. Owners have rights. Managers have responsibilities. Each time you tithe, you are purposely, there's that word again, on purpose, renewing your commitment to be his good manager of all that he has given you. It takes decision and dedication to renew your commitment to be his good manager and recognize God as your owner. And this is the second reason why when you give to God, when you tithe to him, you can't help but trust him. Thirdly, tithing is how we test our own love for and our trust in God based on his promises to provide for our needs. Malachi 3:10. How much do you love and trust God? If somebody came up to you and said, how much do you love and trust God? How would you answer that question? What would you say? What words would you use to describe your level of love for him. Without some way to measure your love for him, any answer you give is vague and subjective. Why not give an answer based on how God measures our love for him, how he measures love and trust, and tithe is one of those. This, of course, is not the only way God measures love, but tithing is the foundation on which all other expressions of love is based. Let me say that again. You ready? Okay, all eyes up here. Watch this. The only way God measures love, the tithe is not the only way, but tithing is the foundation on which all other expressions of love is based. You know what God is telling us with this truth? It's elementary, my dear Watson. Tithing is elementary. God views our tithe as an elementary step of our faith. It's an elementary step of maturity. I think Christians tend to look at tithing as a major leap of maturity. I'm tithing now. I've arrived. Could it be that Jesus considered tithing an elementary step of maturity when he said this, "The one I can trust with little things, I can trust with greater things"? If I know you're tithing at an elementary level, I know you got that part down. When you got that part down, I can trust you with greater things. Isn't that awesome? Tithing is not the pinnacle of Christianity. It's the foundation of it, of your faith in him. It takes courage and dedication to test your love for and your trust in God in the way God tests your love for him. And this is the third reason why when you tithe to God, you can't help but trust him. Fourthly, timing is the hallmark of one who manages his money God's way. How can this be? Doesn't tithing mean I will have fewer funds to work with? Well, the answer is yes, only if you don't factor in God's promise to supply your needs. If you see tithing as great, now I got less money to work with, you have forgotten God's promise to you in Malachi chapter 3 to take care of you. Every one of his financial challenges, and there are at least, everyone has financial challenges, there are at least two reasons why managing money God's way is the solution to financial challenges. Tithing requires you to make a budget so you know the amount to tithe. Again, this is foundational. You could probably go talk to 10 people on the street and they would ask them, do you have an income? Yeah. What is it? Well, it's somewhere around X amount of dollars. How do you spend your money? Well, I do this and that with it. Very vague. Without a budget, we don't know what's coming in and we don't know what's going out. Let me give you an example. Kayla and I. How many of you have taken Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University? In that training, he says in a couple, there's a free spirit and there's the nerd. The nerd who watches every penny and keeps track of everything. And the free spirit who says, hey, look at that over there. Let's buy it. Guess which one I am? It's not the nerd. That's Kayla. She loves numbers. She takes great care of us. And she told me the other day, you've spent enough money on food now. Really? Doesn't feel like, get it? Doesn't feel like I've spent that much. Prove it, Kayla. And she can. That's the bad thing about it. I hate budgets. Budgets tell you where your money's coming in and where it's going out. Secondly, having a budget makes you look at how you really spend, how you really save, and how you really give. According to Dave Ramsey, if you are in debt, which does not include your house mortgage, that's not included in your debt load, you probably cannot obey God in the matter of a tithe. So your first responsibility then is to begin working to pay off debt so that you can then give God the full tithe. He says, bring the full tithe into my storehouse. Setting up a budget and living by it is how you get out of debt, number one. Secondly, how you spend wisely. Third, how you save for emergencies and future needs. And fourth, begin tithing to God. And this is why tithing is the solution to every challenge you will face, because it requires you to do a budget, which makes you then, if you live by the budget, it makes you then know what's coming in, what's going out, and that you can purposely tithe to God. Living by a budget so you can tithe is how you express your love for and your trust in your Father God. Yes? Amen? Amen. Let me give you an example here. Pie? Anyone? This pie is your budget. It's your income. It's your expenses. It's how you spend, and it's how you save, and it's how you give. And everybody has a car payment, maybe, and has utilities to pay. Oh, don't forget the groceries. That's the biggest piece of the pie here. And then there's what else? Oh, house payment. Student loans. Taxes. Is that what it said? Taxes. Car insurance. And when we forget to tithe to God, pretty soon it's all gone, and what God gets is the crumbs. That's all he gets. Oh, yeah, I'm here on church on Sunday. Let me see what I got. See, that's not purposed living. But what if we said this? Here's your same budget, your same income, your same outgo. God, you get the first. I'll live on the rest. Thank you for being so generous to me to let me live on 90%. And you know what this is forcing me to do? Is be more specific and on purpose in the other areas of spending that I have and saving that I have and my planning for my future. And I'm more careful how I use my funds, because I have 90%. And as we said last week, when we buy a car, we make adjustments in the other areas of our spending in order to pay for the car. But we don't seem to think about that when we tithe. I'll just give you what I have left over, God. Here's what's left. But when we give the first piece and say, this is yours, and I'm honoring you, my Father God, I'm giving you a tithe because this is me telling you I love you and I trust you at your word and your promise to me. Kayla and I have been doing this. Well, when we first got married, I was not a very good giver. I was not even a tither. But Kayla had practiced this. She watched her parents when they brought home their paychecks. You know, the first thing they did, I've witnessed this. Ray and Vanetta would sit down at the kitchen table, and in their checkbook, they'd write out in the ledger, not the check yet because it wasn't Sunday yet, but they'd write in the ledger their tithe to God, subtracted out of their income. That way it didn't get spent somewhere else. And I'm watching that. I'm going, wow, that's pretty cool. That's dedication. That's saying, God, I love you and trust you. And if there's a shortage somehow, God, you've promised you'll pick it up. You'll figure it out somehow, and I trust you with that. And so you give God the first to him. Amen? Amen. God is good. Hell of a time, yeah. It takes decision and determination to build a budget so you can tithe to God and be a wise money manager. And this is the fourth reason: when you tithe to God, you can't help but trust Him. Worship team coming up. So the key idea today is this. When you tithe to God, you can't help but trust Him. Say that with me. When you tithe to God, you can't help but trust Him. The church doesn't want something from you. The church wants something for you. The financial freedom to spend, save, and give in the way God has planned us to do. And they have an eternal impact, a timeless impact in people's lives. Let's respond to God. It's in your bulletin there, your sermon outline. Use the budgeting format. I have budgeting format forms on the back table for you. If we run out, just let me know. I'll make more copies. But use the budgeting format to build a budget and begin learning to spend, save, and give wisely. It will take about 3 months of budgeting and living by that budget for you to kind of figure out, okay, this is where we really need to settle in. Here's how we need to adjust this budget piece here to that, and you'll figure that out. About 3 months of doing that, you'll have your budget pretty well settled. If you need help in building a budget or have questions about it, ask Kayla. You can ask me too. If you're willing to help others build a budget, please text me. My phone number's on your outline there. And say, I'm willing to help other people build a budget. Brothers and sisters, what we're talking about here is elementary. Let's learn to tithe to God. Let's learn to tithe to Him. Because all other expressions of love for Him are built on that. Amen? Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Father, thank You for Your deep love for me. Your love is timeless. It never ends. Your love doesn't stop and cannot be stopped by the experiences I have in life, whether good or bad. Help me now to make my love for You timeless, so no matter what experiences or challenges I face, I will always express my unending love, praise and love for You. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing to our Lord.